Hello and welcome. My name is Ozan Barol. I'm a rocket scientist turned professor and number one best-selling author. I'm here to help you reimagine the status quo, both in your life and work. The goal is to escape conformity, ignite creativity, and become extraordinary. If you're an unconventional leader, a change maker, a rebel, a moonshot taker, if you look at conventional wisdom and you ask, why is this here? And is there a better way forward? Then you're in the right place. My books have been translated to nearly 25 languages, and my work has reached millions across the globe. That said, I am not a sage on stage. I don't have all the answers. I'm very much a work in progress. My goal in everything I do is to share with you what I've learned in my own experience, including my mistakes, from cutting-edge research and from the work that I've done with extraordinary businesses and individuals across the globe. If you're new to my work, welcome. Going forward, I will meet you every Thursday in your inbox with an email that shares one big idea that you can read in 3 minutes or less. Readers consistently say that this is the one email they look forward to each week. In this short audio training, I'll share with you three simple strategies that you can use right away to make giant leaps in life and work. Okay, here we go. This is the one tactic that I use most often to achieve my ambitious goals. It's called backcasting. Now, backcasting is the opposite of forecasting, which is what most people do. So for most of us, planning for the future means forecasting. If you're a business leader, you might look at your current resources, your current budgets, your current market, and you project that into the future when you forecast. When we forecast in our personal lives, we let our current skill set drive our vision for who we might become. With forecasting, you end up looking in the rearview mirror as opposed to the possibilities ahead. When we forecast, we ask, what can we do with what we have? But often, the status quo itself is part of the problem. It restricts our vision of what's actually possible. Backcasting flips the script. So rather than forecasting the future, backcasting aims to determine how an ideal future can be attained. So instead of beginning with your present reality, when you backcast, you begin with your ideal future. And you work backward from that future to create a concrete roadmap for making that ideal vision a reality. Now, I've used backcasting for most of my life, as early as middle school, although I wasn't calling it backcasting back then. I grew up as an only child in Istanbul. We lived in this tiny apartment. We had highly unreliable supply of electricity. And we get these blackouts frequently, which would terrify me as a little boy. To entertain me, my dad came up with a game. He'd grab my soccer ball, we'd light a bunch of candles, and he would rotate the soccer ball around one of the candles to show me how the Earth rotated around the sun. Those were my first astronomy lessons, and I was hooked. My moonshot became becoming an astronaut one day. And when I was in middle school, I decided to work backward from that ideal future, from that ideal career as an astronaut, to figure out exactly what I needed to do to get there. I researched the background of every single astronaut who had ever worked at NASA. And my goal was to identify what NASA was looking for in picking astronauts. I found out, for example, that most civilian astronauts had advanced degrees in science or engineering from a prestigious university in the United States. I then worked backward from that goal. I learned English as a second language. I researched how to get into college in the United States. I was eventually admitted to Cornell University to study astrophysics. I showed up in Ithaca, New York with just a suitcase and nothing else in my name. And I ended up serving on the 2003 Mars Exploration Rovers mission, which sent two rovers, Spirit and Opportunity, to Mars. I went from daydreaming about space in Turkey to having the front row seats to the action. Now, I didn't get my moonshot of becoming an astronaut, but I got to work on one of the most successful interplanetary missions of all time. And working on that mission led me to the path that I'm currently on. It led me to write the book called Think Like a Rocket Scientist, which came out in April 2020 and became a number one bestseller. If I wasn't aiming high, and if I hadn't applied backcasting to sketch a concrete plan for getting there, I wouldn't have ended up where I am today. Backcasting can be applied to just about anything. Determine what you want and move backward from that ideal future. What do you want your life to look like? Work backward from that. What does your ideal job look like? Begin with that future reality and go back to create a concrete roadmap for getting there. If you're a business leader, ask yourself, what does an ideal product look like for your business? Visualize a customer delighted with that product and sketch out a roadmap for getting there. Instead of letting your existing reality drive your vision, let your vision drive your reality. When we forecast the future, we try to predict it, and often our predictions turn out to be wrong. But when we backcast the future, we create it. Okay, so that was strategy number one, backcasting. Here is strategy number two, a simple technique to ignite your creativity. I've got a confession. I am a master procrastinator. Now, I don't mean the type of procrastination where I repeatedly clean my desk instead of writing my book. It's a strategic type of procrastination that you can use to generate breakthroughs and ignite your creativity regardless of what you're working on. Here's how it works. When I'm working on a new project, I start as quickly as possible. So when I'm writing a book, for example, I immediately jot down ideas and examples, anything that's already on my mind that might be relevant. After I plant those seeds, I walk away and wait to see what blossoms. Now, I resist planning everything out far in advance because when I do that, I tend to rigidify my thinking and close off creative possibilities. So when I walk away and wait, that waiting is not passive. When I start a project and deliberately stop, after an initial period of focus, I ignite the thought factory in my brain. Even as I wait, the project is active in my subconscious, which is churning behind the scenes and cooking up new insights. And during that process, ideas mature, they become richer, they pick up new associations like wine aging in a barrel. If you stay focused for too long, your thinking will stagnate. So follow a period of focus with a state of unfocus. Let your mind wander. Don't fill that period with social media or email, which won't give your subconscious the break it needs. Instead, stare out the window, listen to music, meditate, or take a shower. There is a reason, by the way, why most people's best ideas arrive in the shower, because they're in this distraction-free environment where they can listen to themselves, tap into their inner wisdom, and allow their subconscious to connect ideas and make new associations. My high school soccer coach had a saying that I love. He said, if you're not in possession, get in position. In other words, if you don't have the ball, move to a different place on the field where you're open to receiving. The same principle applies to ideas. If you're not in possession of them, physically move to a different place to encourage their flow. So I find it helpful to change locations within my house, but outside of the room where I normally write, which is associated with the same old thought patterns. That shift in location brings a shift in perspective and creates this blank space onto which I can project new ideas. Walking is also really helpful. Research shows that movement and cognition are activated in the same region of the brain, and that walking improves creativity. In one study, which is cleverly titled Give Your Ideas Some Legs, Stanford researchers divided participants into two groups and gave them a divergent creativity test. One group sat for 1 hour before the test, and the other group walked on a treadmill. On average, walking on a treadmill boosts the creativity scores by 60%. In my own strategic procrastination process, I keep the circuit open by regularly returning to the project and revisiting the main themes and ideas. I also consciously mine my thoughts for new insights and write them down as soon as they come up. Those insights provide a creative compost pile of sorts for my next writing session. Now, this is an intentional, not impulsive type of procrastination. It's a way of walking away from the project to grow the project, not to avoid it. which means you'll eventually need to return to your desk to actually finish it. And that rhythm of focus and unfocus aggregates over time to something that may have seemed undoable at the start. A small thing repeated becomes a big thing. And the third idea I want to share with you is the biggest thing holding you back. There's a quote I came across from an anonymous NASA employee in the terrific book, The Art of Possibility. The quote said, "I am here today to cross the swamp, not to fight all the alligators." The quote resonated with me because we often do the opposite. We fight the alligators instead of actually crossing the swamp. The swamp is a scary, uncertain place. We may never reach the other side, and even if we do cross it, we're afraid of who we might become. So we fight the alligators to hide from the discomfort of actually crossing the swamp. We spend our time doing what we know best, tackling our emails, attending endless meetings, instead of actually finishing that project or launching that product. The alligators are visible. They're right in front of us, but the shore seems distant in time and space. So on any given day, a random email sent our way takes priority over the things that actually matter. Now, it's not like fighting alligators is completely unjustified. They are there after all. They might present a danger to us. As the alligators scream their 100 decibel sirens for attention, we feel compelled to fight them. Rather than being proactive, we spend most of our days and most of our lives playing defense. All that churn feels productive, but it's not. I mean, we're getting things out of the way, but out of the way of what exactly? We're slaying the alligators, but the shore isn't any closer. We're winning each battle, but we're losing the war. What makes you a successful venture capitalist is the quality of the deals that you close, not the number of your Twitter followers. What makes you a successful writer is the quality of your books, not how often you hit inbox zero. What makes you a great software engineer is the quality of your software, not the amount of time that you spend in meetings. What makes your product successful is how remarkable it is, not the camera angle that you use for that TV commercial. While we're busy tackling small tasks that we've convinced ourselves that we have to do, we avoid the more complicated projects that will actually take us to the next level. Extraordinary people ignore the alligators and focus on crossing the swamp. They don't spend their days, you know, dutifully checking items from a to-do list. Their work is too big to be reduced to checkboxes. And actually, a to-do list can be a powerful driver of harmful procrastination. When you put all your to-dos in the same place and give them the same treatment, you give yourself another reason to clean your desk or call your insurance company instead of actually writing that book proposal. Now, you don't need to ditch your to-do list. You also don't need to replace it with a four-part matrix, a special app, or a stylish journal. The idea is really simple. Decide what's important and relentlessly prioritize it. Make it one of your to-dos to determine whether you've got the right to-dos. Identify the alligators in your life, the shallow concerns that are not helping you cross the swamp. Ask yourself, what do I do just to make myself feel productive? Is what I'm doing right now helping me cross the swamp? Or is it actually an alligator that's distracting me from what's important? Then get to work on erasing those alligators from your to-do list. Stop trying to do more things and start doing the things that matter. Thank you very much for tuning in and for signing up for this free audio training. If you got this from a friend and you'd like to get in touch with me and keep in touch with me, you can head over to my website, which is ozanvarol.com. That's O-Z-A-N. B as in Victor, ARol.com, and sign up for my weekly email. Thank you again for tuning in, and I look forward to connecting with you.